Pilot Light, written by Gamorad and read by Katana. Summary: the old spider spirit of the boiler room and his little workers find some things have changed after Chihiro and Haku have left the bathhouse. Changes might mean trouble, or might be just what they needed. Not too long after Haku and the human girl had made their final escape from the bathhouse, Kamaji noticed that a few of his soot sprites had changed. He had never been able to tell one soot sprite from another, not in all the unnumbered nights that they had served him. They hid in their underfloor home until it was time to carry coal or time to dine, busily working or eating when out and about, each of them the same as any other. That girl, Sen, had sparked something in them. Or had she? Perhaps the life, the individuality that they showed when she was about had been in them all along, unnoticed. It was as if he saw them more clearly since her arrival, imagining how they looked through her eyes. Perhaps Kamaji had not been the best caretaker for 10,000 newborn creatures. Perhaps they had been able to be, ready to become, more, and his negligence had left them unable to grow. He'd given no thought to the arcs of their lives when he created them. His focus had been on the convenience of having the boiler room to himself, on their ability to substitute for talkative assistants who might try to draw him into conversation. No one who worked at the bathhouse admitted to ever having been human, but Kamaji thought he could not be the only one. Had calling the girl his granddaughter been such an admission? Lin had not believed it, so she hadn't thought so, and no one else had heard him say it, other than the soot sprites and whatever they might be learning. And whatever they might be learning, how to talk was probably not. Probably wasn't the same as certainly. Over the years, Kamaji had said many words to the soot sprites he'd rather they not be able to share with anyone else in the however unlikely circumstance they developed the ability to speak. He'd told them how he created them, the magic of imbuing life, and he definitely didn't want Yubaba getting hold of that power. He'd told them, too, the few memories he still had of his human life. Half-remembered scraps of living in a home deep in the earth, tending a sacred fire, teaching the children of his people the ways of their ancestors, teaching a carefully selected apprentice his magic. Of the war they'd fought against the imperial troops, their few against the emperor's endless wave of soldiers, his people's tricks and traps and secret tunnels under their lands. How he'd found a spirit doorway and gone through it, into a spirit tunnel, begun to spin spirit thread and had been transformed into a giant arachnid. How Yubaba had found him and given him a job, and his current form with its human torso and its many handy extendable arms. How he'd helped her create the bathhouse and build it up into a thriving business. And how she had tricked him out of his name. His attention was pulled out of his reverie by a small commotion. Four of the soot sprites were tussling over a lump of coal. Three of them tugged it out of the grasp of the one who'd lifted it first. The one whose lump had been stolen went to pick up another. The three dropped the fuel they'd taken and attempted to steal from yet another sprite.
"Troublemakers," Kamaji said, stretching out an arm and scooping up the three thieves.
He pulled them closer to his face. Yes, these might be the same ones that had been hopping over one another yesterday. He sniffed them. A faint smell of dragon blood clung to each. Haku had bled all over his boiler room. Was it the blood causing these changes? Yet, he'd noticed them before that. From the first time his little granddaughter had visited, hadn't he?
"Curse my memory," Kamaji muttered.
So long in the same room had made it hard to keep track of temporal order. He peered close, opening his extra spider eyes to see from more angles, more clearly. Within each of the soot sprites in his hand, there was a warmer dark red hue amidst the black soot.
"Back to work," he scolded them and set them down. "Behave yourselves."
They scurried off and each picked up a lump of fuel. He watched to make sure they were carrying their fuel to the boiler and tossing it in. Then a trio of bath token requests came in and Kamaji busied himself filling the orders. It was several nights later when he saw a lump of fuel catch fire as a soot sprite carried it along the walkway to the boiler. He'd never seen that happen before. Once in a while, a spark flew out of the boiler door and sent a smoky trail up from a sprite's cloudy form as the spark burned out in its soot. More often, a tongue of flame or a breath of hot air sent a plume of soot flying until the magic recollected the little being. A few had even exploded. This was different. The fuel caught fire still at some distance from the boiler, just as the soot sprite stepped onto the tongue of the floor that extended towards the boiler's mouth. It caught not from the boiler's fire, but from an ember in the soot sprite that carried it. And the sprite didn't smoke or lose shape. If anything, it was firmer, more solid than the sprites around it. Kamaji studied the sprites through the lenses that covered his eyes. The glow within three of his helpers had brightened to crimson. Whatever was happening to them, it was progressing. He thought about the girl. She was, he thought, descended from his people, at least in part. He had recognized it in her, the spirit she bore, her kinship to his memory, his original charge. Before the boiler room, before Yubaba tricked and enslaved him here. She had not been his descendant, that would have been impossible. He remembered, though, that even as he had fathered no children of his own, all the children of his people had been his grandchildren in honorific, respectfully naming him grandfather, affectionately called grandson and granddaughter in reply. These soot sprites were his creations, and therefore his charges, and he had never loved them. He'd meant them to be nothing but mindless little spell servants. So he had always treated them. But then the girl had come, and her first act was to show one of them compassion. She'd seen it struggle under its heavy load, and her immediate thought had been to help it. And the sprites had clearly loved her for it. For showing them the care in a minute that he had not shown in their entire lives. They had swarmed her, begging for attention, cared for her belongings as if they were treasure, devoted themselves to her even above Lin, who fed them. All of the sprites had paid attention to Sen, yet only three of them had embers. Only these three were undergoing transformation. Kamaji would have to become a better caretaker, he thought, and keep a close watch on the three that glowed. Over the next few nights, as Kamaji gave a greater share of his attention to the soot sprites, he noticed that every few minutes one of them picked up a block of fuel too large for it to handle. It would struggle, be flattened under the weight, and after it had given up, it would puff out around the edges and reform itself nearby, then go to fetch a lighter load from the stockpile behind the wall of additive nooks. Kamaji began to pick up the two heavy lumps, break them in two with a chisel, and store them on the shelf to the right of his desk. When a soot sprite struggled, he would pick up one of the pieces from the shelf and extend his arm to replace the sprite's load with one it could easily carry. His helpers noticed the change in their relationship with their master. They began to play games with him, pretending to be overloaded, seeing if they could catch his hand or climb onto it for a ride. One managed to scurry all the way up his sleeve to his shoulder and perched there, making soft noises that Kamaji couldn't help interpreting as contentment. He let it stay there until Lin came with the soot sprite's candy stars, and it rushed over to its dinner. The three glowing sprites were slowly brightening, their embers turning scarlet over the next several days. The next night, as the crowd of sprites rushed out to begin their night's work, Kamaji noticed not three glows, but five. Had more of the sprites begun to change, he wondered. Then he looked closer. There were still only three with embers, but now there were several who had little buff cylinders held overhead, and two of those were lit. Those were the source of the two new glows. Kamaji looked at his desk. His ashtray was empty. Kamaji began to laugh. Soot sprites smoking cigarettes. He would have to tell Lin about that when she came to bring dinner. The sprites all turned their attention to him, and his laugh turned into a chortle, a choking glee that nearly overwhelmed him. He coughed and laughed, and his fingers slipped against the drawer he was opening that held the spindly dried ginger he chewed to soothe his throat. That morning, after the bathhouse patrons had departed for the day and the boiler could be allowed to cool, Kamaji recalled how the soot sprite had stolen his cigarette stubs to try imitating him, how two of them had even managed to light their smokes and begun laughing again, so hard that his eyes began to stream. He took his glasses off to wipe his eyes. Then he went to take his own bath. Absent-mindedly, he left his glasses behind on his desk. Most days, Kamaji would go to his sleeping quarters without returning to the boiler room, but since he could not find his glasses, he went back to look for them. He plucked the glasses off his desk and, about to put them on, idly glanced upwards, and caught the three changing soot sprites playing what must be their newest game with their newest change. They were floating up in the air nearly to the ceiling. The rest of the sprites looked on from the floor. Kamaji dropped his glasses again in startlement. Two of the soot sprites seized this new toy, neither willing to let go. They fought a tug-of-war over it for a moment until Kamaji reached over and plucked his property out of the sprite's grasp. He put the lenses to his eyes and looked again at the hovering trio of lights. They did not look much like soot sprites anymore. Their sides were smooth and shadowy, more blue than black, and at their centers were pinpricks of white, with shades of orange and red and purple, graduated outward. Their voices, too, were different, more musical, as though they had, still wordless, learned to sing.
"Come on, you three, it's time to go," Kamaji said roughly.
He did not grab them, but held out an open palm to each. They were warmer than he had expected, but not hot enough to burn. Not yet, he thought, suspecting they soon would be far too hot to handle. He carried them where no soot sprite had ever gone, through the boiler room exit, down the tunnel lined on either side with the hot water heating tanks powered by the boiler, the enormous pipes that fed the water into many bathing pools in the bathhouse above, past the valves and sensors that were vestigial remains of Kamaji's early mistakes and the soot sprite's predecessors, who had not been nearly so efficient. They came to the exit door and he opened it. The four of them went outside under the morning sun. Kamaji stood for a while, looking up at the white clouds and blue sky.
"Up you go," he said to them, the most tenderly he'd ever spoken to any of the sprites. "I think you'll make fine stars. Find your places, grandchildren."
They whispered and sang and floated up, up into the sky. Kamaji lost sight of them as they faded into the sunlight of the day. He felt a faint warmth in his chest, inside the heavy glistening substance that had long ago replaced his heart. A whisper of song twined around the fuel-like lump, and listening close, he thought he could hear a memory of his long-lost true name. The End.